the technique that derives itself from the variation in the shading. Basically, you can take the inner shading contrast and input, create a relief surface, as you were mentioning before, of that image, and then plot that from the clock reading function, produce a three-dimensional image.
Tom DiMaggio wanted me to announce that the press is invited over to the Bradford House after this conference to view the exhibit, and we could answer some questions there about it as well.
I would like to ask Reese Norris to talk about the book. This does not necessarily mean that it's the end of the scientific questions, but I know some of you do have to leave, so Reese.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Reese Norris. I'm from Glastonbury, Connecticut, and I'm the attorney for the Shroud of Turin Research Project. I have a statement to read regarding the book entitled Verdict on the Shroud and Certain Publications. I apologize for not having copies for you. I think you will understand the reason when I read the statement. We have been working frantically throughout the week, the most recent developments coming from federal court just literally hours ago. So it would be totally impossible to have updated this report for you as many times as such an update would have been required and read it to you. And before entertaining questions, I'd like to read the statement if I could. Yes. No, I believe I will indicate my counterpart in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Shroud of Turin Research Project wishes to formally comment on the publication of a book entitled Verdict on the Shroud by Kenneth E. Stevenson and Gary R. Habermas. The Shroud of Turin Research Project wishes to emphatically state that this book does not represent the findings of the Shroud of Turin Research Project and is neither authorized nor approved in any fashion. Author Kenneth E. Stevenson has identified himself to the media as the official spokesman for the Shroud of Turin Research Project. Mr. Stevenson is not the official spokesman for the Shroud of Turin Research Project, and his resignation as a member of that project has been demanded. Co-author Gary R. Habermas has identified himself in the publication, as well as to the media, as a research consultant to the Shroud of Turin Research Project. Mr. Habermas is not a research consultant to the Shroud of Turin Research Project, and in fact, there is no record of a Gary R. Habermas in the official records of the Shroud of Turin Research Project. The book entitled Verdict on the Shroud acknowledges Drs. John Heller, John Jackson, Eric Jumper, and Ray Rogers as assisting in the preparation of the manuscript, when in fact these scientists, who are all members of the Shroud of Turin Research Project, did not assist in the preparation of this manuscript. Any statement by the authors or publishers of Verdict on the Shroud, which represents that the book reports the findings of the Shroud of Turin Research Project, or is in any way affiliated with the Shroud of Turin Research Project, is false and misleading. The Shroud of Turin Research Project, with the great assistance of attorney Bruce Wallace of Ann Arbor, Michigan, obtained a temporary restraining order against the publishers and authors of this book, restraining them from selling, promoting, or distributing this book, pending a full hearing to be conducted before the Honorable Ross W. Campbell, Circuit Judge, Ann Arbor, Michigan. This afternoon, a federal United States District Court judge in Detroit, Michigan, dissolved that temporary restraining order and entered an interim order pending a full hearing on October 13, 1981, the following effect. One, that the publisher forthwith prepare inserts to be delivered for each outstanding copy of the book, stating that the book is in no way an authorized publication of the Shroud of Turin Research Project, and that the acknowledgement page delete reference to Drs. Jumper, Jackson, and Heller. 2, that the publisher forthwith reprint the dust jacket of the book to delete all reference to the Shroud of Turin Research Project. 3, that in all future copies of the book, the publisher delete reference to Drs. Jackson, Jumper, and Heller in the acknowledgement. The Shroud of Turin Research Project is presently negotiating with the officials of the Italian Church and the exiled King of Italy for permission to conduct carbon-14 testing upon the Shroud of Turin. And we wish to assure those officials, as well as the public and the media, that the book entitled Verdict on the Shroud does not report the findings of the Shroud of Turin Research Project. Thank you very much. That will be in the United States District Court, Detroit, Michigan. I don't want to go into the details any more than I have because this matter is presently in the midst of litigation, and I feel that that statement suffices to state our purpose at this time. Well, I don't want to address myself to that. Perhaps I'll leave that to you.
No. We certainly were not intending anything at all. I think, Larry, you want to talk more about that?
Taking my own disciplinary action, I'm asking that my foreword be deleted from any future printings of the book. Yes, sir. I reviewed the scientific data as it was discussed in Chapter 6, and made corrections. I think with the recent developments, it's become an embarrassment to the project, and I think it's hurting our credibility. Was I aware that my foreword was going to be included? Yes. What is it about the manuscript that makes it embarrassing? It pretends that the Shroud of Turin Research Project's conclusion is that the evidence can only be explained by the resurrection, and that's not true. Had I read the entire thing, not very carefully,
I don't believe there's any further comments from Mr. Schwalbe. Papers which were prepared on rather short notice. We prepared the entire ream of legal papers within 24 hours. Dr. Rogers was not acquainted with that matter. and that's why he was not included. But the information, as I report to you, is absolutely correct.
The other one of the questions, you know, a story a couple years back,
I'm not even going to address myself to that question. I don't think the proper thing to do it at this time. I think the statement that I've presented is the statement which this project wants presented to the press at this time. We feel that we need to say. All I will say is that he is, Dr. Buckland is here.
That's an accurate quote. I wrote the closing, the epilogue for the book. I had an opportunity to read the manuscript before I did. I didn't agree with everything which was written in the book. And in my few words at the end, I made an attempt to state the position of the Shroud of Turin Research Project as I understood it in relationship to that particular question. I felt that it was inevitable that there would be some connection made between the scientific work done by the group and the matter of the resurrection. But I very carefully expressed my opinion that the group as a whole would not take a position in that respect, nor would any church group that I was aware of. The opinion I expressed was my own, and it stands as that. I believe the statement says that there is nothing in the, as far as I'm concerned personally, there's nothing in the scientific work which has been done which would preclude the resurrection. In no way did I ever indicate, nor will I, that the work done by this team is going to prove that the resurrection took place. I'm a doctor of medicine, currently the deputy medical examiner for LA County. Robert Bucklin, B-U-C-K-L-I-N.
Excuse me, but I think that question is out of order. You're talking about something that appeared in a disreputable piece of journal. I think that's not. It has nothing.
Just a moment. My name was brought up in Anna Marie Rogers. I would also like to point out that Bob Buckland is not a member of STIRP. He was not part of the observations in the Palace of Turin. He has not been a member of the chemical physical observations of the STIRP program. If he's recognized as a member of STIRP, he's not recognized as one of the scientific members. As far as I'm concerned, I'm madder than hops about my name not showing up in that disclaimer. in October of 1979, when we had our first get-together and the question of people writing books came up, I was the first one who said I wanted nothing whatever to do with any popular books on the subject. I wanted nothing to do with it at all. I would do my talking in the scientific literature. And how in the world I end up in an acknowledgement of that thing, I'll never understand. But I want my name absolutely out of that in all ways.
When we were in Turin, we needed somebody, pardon me, to fend off the press. We needed to get our work done. We needed to have a little, not peace and quiet, that was impossible. We needed to do a job in a very limited amount of time. Ken was the one we nominated to protect us. Since then, no, he has not been ever an official spokesman in the sense of reporting what we think. I think if you asked what we think, every single one of us would give you a different answer. We have no spokesman. We couldn't possibly have a spokesman.
We are going to stop answering any further questions on the book. We had a long discussion, private meeting this morning, which commenced at 9 o'clock. We spent a lot of time over the last week on this issue. The statement I read accurately reflects the position of the Shroud of Turin Research Project, and I think that's all we need and want and desire to say at this time.
No more books. How many of you had a spiritual experience because of your research? Raise your hand. Okay. Yes. John?
I'd kind of like to clear the air here. Stirrup is not just a list of names on a list. It's not a collection of names on a list, but it's a group of living people who are trying to accomplish an objective. We see ourselves as a scientific group that is looking at the Shroud of Turin from a scientific point of view, and we're using scientific data. Questions about who belongs to Stirrup and who doesn't is really an issue that is probably not that well defined, because we are simply a group of people trying to produce a better understanding of the relic, or cloth known as the Shroud of Turin. As far as the religious aspects of people, you know, I said we're a group of living people, and living people, though we may be scientists, can be human beings and have religious points of view. And I can assure you that Stirrup has many different kinds of religious points of view, all the way from fundamentalist type Christians to Roman Catholics to Protestants, Jewish, agnostic. We've got them all. I think of that as our strength, because it, I would hope, would be viewed as something that would help us to be objective in what we try to do as scientists. And I think it does. We're not trying to promote a religious point of view, although everybody and anybody on this project is allowed, I mean, certainly can have their own religious point of view and live with that. So we're not trying to present an image here of being different than anybody else. We're simply scientists who have come together to try to investigate something we find very interesting.
We have time for one or two quick questions, I'm told. Oh, okay.
Let me make one statement to correct the record. Don Lynn, Bob Buckland is a contributing member of the project, okay?
Okay. I don't think that's a possible thing. to ever come to a conclusion on. I don't think the classical scientific method can answer who it was. I don't know for sure that we can even say, well, no. The answer to your question specifically is no. I don't think we can. Sir? I don't think we can prove what you first said would have to be proved before we can say this. I don't think classical scientific method can prove that this was a body that of a man that was crucified. I think we can indicate probabilities, perhaps, but we can prove much more easily what it wasn't than what it was. Tom?
I think we're going to have to call a press conference to a close. We're on an extremely tight schedule. We've missed our first three buses. We have one remaining. If we don't get on it, we all walk. So we appreciate your time, and I hope you understand. I might add, all the members of the project, the bus leaves at 5:30.
Yeah. Anything? Wait, is that? No, that's mine. Oh.